Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. A disappointing end to the Steelers 2018 season. Yes, they beat the Cincinnati Bengals 16-13. They finished the year 9-6-1, but the Baltimore Ravens beat the Cleveland Browns, and so the Steelers end the year just out of the playoff picture. Was it the game against the Raiders that cost this team a playoff spot? Was it the tie to the Cleveland Browns? Was it a late disaster in Denver? All of the above. All of the above ended up costing this team. But it ends up being one of the most disappointing Steeler years in recent memory. You'd have to go back to all the way to 2012 and 2013 for the last two times this team missed the playoffs. They were back-to-back 8 and 8 years back then. But there's some narratives you can draw in those years to not to excuse why, but to at least explain why that team went through a bit of a transitionary period. You really can't make the same excuse or the same argument in 2018. This was just a team that did not play up to its potential, and it leaves the Steelers in a very awkward place going into the 2019 season because this was not a team that ended the year with a disappointing playoff loss. This is a year that this team ends without a playoff game to speak of. Not something we're used to in the city of Pittsburgh. So we'll break down both this game against the Bengals, and then we'll start talking about what this team is going to do in the offseason. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steeler Country. You can find us on Instagram, Locked On Steelers. You can also find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. All right, let's get to my rapid reaction of the Steelers' win over the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers win 16-13 in Heinz Field in their regular season finale. It'll also be the finale for their 2018 season, as they also needed help from the Browns to beat the Baltimore Ravens. That game very, very close down the stretch, closer than I thought it would be. I knew the Browns were going to play that game tough. This was their chance to have a winning year, the first winning season for the Browns in what feels like forever. They've got a young, talented team with Baker Mayfield. And they gave the Ravens everything they had. They had a chance down the stretch there. They were down by just 2 points going into field goal range. It was 4th and 10. You know, Baker ends up throwing a pick on what looked like it could have been a very good play. I mean, they had a Duke Johnson on a catch and run type play, but C.J. Mosley bats the ball away and then ultimately intercepts it. So a tough break for the Steelers at the end there because it looked like they might be able to sneak in, but. You know, the Steelers end up finishing the year 9-6-1, a very disappointing record for a team that came into the year with much higher expectations than just winning the AFC North, but they didn't even do that. They lost out on the AFC North to the Baltimore Ravens. But let's focus on this game for a second here because we're going to have a lot of time to kind of give the eulogy of the 2018 season as we now have the entire month of January to talk about the offseason and preparing for the 2019 season because this team will not be playing playoff football. You know, this game against the Bengals was the most, it's just a lifeless performance from the Steelers. You know, they just came out with no intensity. They were down 10-0 early in this football game for a must-win game. And I understand that this game, you know, for the Steelers was kind of a, letdown game overall because they had given up. It's no longer win and in type of scenario for the Steelers. They had had some emotional games in the past that they lost, games like the Chargers and the Saints previously. So I understand that, but, you know, for the Steelers, this is still a must-win game. They can still get in the playoffs by winning this football game, and they were playing a Bengals team that was so banged up. You know, the Bengals had nothing to play for at all. Their coach ended up being fired here on Monday. I'm recording this on Monday. I had to sleep this one off, just make sure I didn't come on here and rant and rave again, especially, you know, given the fact that this team is done now in the 2018 season. But I don't understand how this team didn't come out with more intensity and more fire. You know, they just seemed lifeless from the start. Offensively, you know, I mean, just the complete lack of creativity. Everything that this offense did offensively seemed like it was a little crossing route or catch and run type plays in the flat or over the middle with guys like Eli Rogers, Vance McDonald, little dump offs to Connor or Jalen Samuels. I mean, they were not able to move the ball down the field or push the ball down the field. And whether that's because, look, I understand the Bengals have a very good secondary with guys like William Jackson and their rookie Jesse Bates at the free safety position. He's been great for them in 2018. But, man, you know, you feel like an offense with as much talent as the Steelers have, they should have been able to push the ball down the field. Instead, they had a really hard time moving the ball at all and getting themselves into scoring position. And it would just, you had these drives where you know, that because they're not throwing the ball beyond the sticks, everything was, you know, third and five, and they've got a little catch and run play that gets stopped short. They had that one on the first drive where it was fourth and one from, was it their own 45 or maybe a little closer than that. I felt like they should go for it there. They end up punting. They end up actually doing the stupid, you know, line up at the line and try to draw them off sides. I thought just you know, you're the Steelers. You have a great offense. You know, the Bengals have a very beat up offense. I mean, we're talking about an offense without Andy Dalton, without AJ Green, without Tyler Eifert, as much as Keith Butler wants to believe Eifert's still out there. You know, this Steeler team should have been able to move the ball. And if it meant going for it on fourth down a couple times, I didn't understand, you know, the kind of Tomlin kind of playing scared in those moments. But, you know, he ended up fixing that as the game went on, and this team, you know, still couldn't move the ball. And then they got themselves into some fourth down situations. They ended up going for it in those spots. But, you know, you got to question how this team can come out in this game so flat. You know, I understand that they won this game. I understand they came out of this with a win. That's what they had to do. They would have gotten in the playoffs should the Browns have upset the Ravens. But you can't help but come out of this game disappointed, right? This game kind of, in some ways, kind of a microcosm of the entire Steeler year, right? I mean, yes, the Steelers end up finishing the year 9-6-1. They have a winning record in 2018. But, you know, that's not the expectation. The expectation in this game should not have been to squeak by on a game winner at the end by our new kicker, right? You know, scoring three field goals and a touchdown is not how we should be beating, you know, a Bengals team that has absolutely nothing to play for and a coach that ends up getting fired the very next day. It's just kind of a... And by the way, this is the sixth or seventh time this year that this team has had a lead in the fourth quarter and given it up. This team had a 13-10 lead late in this football game into the fourth quarter. And then the defense gives it up again, right? I mean, it's not all on the defense because, you know, offensively, this game should have been, I mean, this offense should have been able to put up far more points than 16. I mean, giving up 13 points defensively, not a terrible performance, especially considering that seven of those points came on a Ben Roethlisberger pick six, which is one of those plays where he did try to throw the ball down the field, didn't see Jesse Williams, and ends up throwing a bad pick six on a play I guess he thought was a free play. I guess he thought that the guy was offsides. Now, he did move. The defensive lineman did move. I don't think he was actually in the neutral zone, though. So not a free play for Ben. It ends up being free 7 points for the Bengals. But, you know, this team has had so many chances late in these games to win. And to watch this team consistently give it up late, right? Consistently unable to put teams away late. And I understand that they came back in this game and won it. But you're going up against the Bengals team with nothing to play for. You've got everything to play for. And that run that Mixon had down the sideline, you know, we can go over player by player there who, I mean, I guess Terrell Edmonds is the one that stands out, right? Rookie Terrell Edmonds who gets completely turned around. Terrible angles. He had a very bad game in this one. You know, you kind of saw the poor angles that we saw from him in college when he at attacking the run. I mean, he just, first of all, he took a poor angle on Mixon on that play. And then by the time he caught up, he was completely off balance. Couldn't drive any power through Mixon. It just kind of falls off him there. You know, an embarrassing play for Terrell Edmonds on that one. Embarrassing for the defense as a whole. Again, this is a nothing Bengals team. Can we put this team away? No, they're going to go down. They drive down. They end up kicking a field goal on that one because there was a big sack by Cam Hayward. And this was a game, you know, defensively, I really liked what I saw. Of course, you have to love what you saw from Cam Hayward. But really, TJ Watt and the emergence of TJ Watt late in the year. And if there's any positive to take defensively from this season, it's the play of TJ Watt. I believe he ends the year now with 13 sacks. He had a strip sack in this football game. You know, he has been, you know, this team has needed for so long an emergence of a real playmaker on this defense. And he has become that guy, or he's becoming that guy. I understand the 13 sacks he had this year were a bit padded at times. And I think he had 6 sacks against the Browns. But what you saw from him late in this year was consistent pressure and a real playmaking ability from him that you haven't seen from Steelers defenders in some time. You really have to go back to prime James Harrison, prime Lamar Woodley before you find a pass rusher as talented as TJ Watt is right now. And alongside him, you have Bud Dupree, who's, you know, he's been healthy all year. He ends up the year with, I believe, 5.5 sacks to TJ Watt's 13. It just kind of goes to show you, right? We've waited so long for Bud Dupree to be that guy. I know they have his fifth-year option coming up, or they picked it up, but we'll see if they end up keeping him. But for TJ Watt, you know, he has become that guy that this Steeler defense has so desperately needed at the pass rush position. And Cam Hayward, same thing on the defensive line, continues to be a great interior lineman for them. And now this team goes into an offseason in 2019, as I've said, and I've said many, many times, and I'll repeat it here today. They have to make real changes defensively. You know, whole cloth changes. coaching staff, mentality, defense, schematically on the defense, and player evaluation, talent evaluation on defense. There are so many players in this defense that are replaceable, and you have to wonder how aggressive this team is going to be in the offseason at trying to replace those players. Love to see James Conner come back in this football game, and Conner had some nice runs in here, even though he's probably playing, you know, at, you know, 80% or whatever it was on that ankle. You know, Conner nearly got to 1,000 yards on the year. He ends up finishing the year at 973. Ben Roethlisberger did hit the 5,000 yard mark, as was expected. I mean, he only had to throw for 100 and something in this one. He ends up throwing for 5,100 on the year, 34 touchdowns, although he did throw 16 interceptions with the pick six in this football game. Juju got up to 111 catches, 1,400 plus yards for him on the year. He had a fantastic year. And then James Washington got involved again. He got three catches, 64 in this one, got deep on a team again. It's all we've wanted to see from him all year, right? Just get deep, make some combat catches. And, you know, it took him three quarters of the year to really get going. What big catches against the Patriots, a couple of other big catches here. I know he disappeared a little bit in that Saints game, but not like the Steelers needed him offensively in that game. And that was a game much more about Antonio Brown and Juju. And that offense moved the ball against the Saints. So, but you have to like what you've seen from James Washington at the end of this year. Disappointing rookie year, no doubt about it, but seems to be coming on now late in the year. Hopefully he can pick that up in 2019 and be a real contributor at the outside receiver spot. And overall on the offense, you just kind of have to like where this team is from a talent perspective, right? And the guys who are going to be returning in 2019. It's not like this offense is in real need of overhaul in any major way. At the running back spot, you're going to have James Conner as your starter in 2019. Jalen Samuels, likely his backup. And you can hope that Samuels goes through the same body transformation we saw Le'Veon early in his career. James Conner this year. I mean, if Jalen Samuels gets a little quicker, a little more burst, you hope that he can be a real asset out of the backfield as a receiver and maybe more used in the passing game with Conner more as your every down runner. And maybe you add another running back in there in the draft, right? Or as a veteran in free agency, just kind of add to the rotation there. I don't imagine Ridley will be back for 2019. At wide receiver, of course, the Steelers are going to have AB and Juju, and that tandem is one of the best in the league. James Washington, you hope that he continues arrow pointing up going into 2019, but you probably do need to add another outside receiver as competition there, just from a depth perspective. And then, you know, you have Ryan Switzer, you have Eli Rogers. Those guys will likely be back in 2019. At the tight end position, you know, Vance McDonald will return. Jesse James, a free agent, likely will not. So potentially the Steelers need to add another tight end there, but you have to like what you've seen from Vance McDonald this year. And then on the offensive line, right? I mean, yes, the Steelers are going to lose two of their starters. Ramon Foster will likely leave in free agency, although BJ Finney will fill his spot. And we've seen Finney play at times and look very, very good. And then the right tackle position, Marcus Gilbert, likely to be a free agent cap casualty during free agency. So you're going to see Matt Filer continue being the starter there at right tackle. But Filer has played pretty much the entire second half of the season and looked very, very good doing so. They'll have Okorafor step in. Still got Gerald Hawkins, who was on IR since OTAs or since minicamp. So the Steelers don't have to add a ton of talent offensively. Right? Maybe augment some positions here and there. Add another receiver on the outside. Maybe add a tight end. Maybe add a running back in free agency or late in the draft. But, you know, certainly not. You're not thinking high draft pick offensively because this team, again, so loaded in 2018 and not really going to be losing a whole lot going into 2019. On the flip side, as I've said a million times in this podcast, we got to change everything defensively. I mean, we got to reload defensively. I like what I see from Hayward, like what I see from TJ Watt, but everybody else, ugh. And really no stat stands out more than their turnover ratio. Well, not even the turnover ratio, just the amount of takeaways that this defense was able to get in 2018. The Steelers will finish the year third worst in the NFL when it comes to takeaways. The 49ers were worst with just 7, which that might have been historic, as bad as they were at taking the ball away. You have the Lions behind them at 14, and then the Steelers and Packers tied at 15. Just 15 takeaways for this year, for this team. And, you know, you compare that to the league leaders. The Bears had 36, the Browns 31, the Rams 30, the Texans 29. By the way, three of those teams are playoff teams. And you look at the teams that are around the Steelers with just 15 takeaways. The 49ers will pick second in the draft. The Lions will pick 8th in the draft. The Packers will pick 12th in the draft. The Cardinals, who are right above them at 16 turnovers, they will pick first in the NFL draft. So you know, the Steelers, they have to improve from a playmaking perspective. And I know I talked to Christopher Carter about this earlier in the year, and he brought up the idea that this defense was probably a little more conservative in 2018 because of all the big plays that they were giving up, and that led to the takeaways going down. But it's got to get fixed. I mean, you can't in the modern NFL have a team that is this poor at taking the ball away, especially given our offense's, you know, proclivity to turn the ball over. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger throwing 16 interceptions this year, it does change the complexion of games. I mean, you saw that in Week 17, this game against the Bengals. The pick six changed the game. You know, again, the Steelers are down 10-0 in that game. And if they had been able to get a big turnover, this might have been actually the game we expected. If they had gotten a big turnover in this game and given the offense a short field and the ability to get a quick touchdown, you know, could this have been a 27-10 type of win? Potentially, right? Could have changed the momentum of the game and the complexion of this game. But all year, this defense has been unable. You know, I go back to the play in the fourth quarter, right? The late leads that this team has had, right? You know, big turnovers in those moments. I mean, just, you know, I mean, that is a no-go for this defense. I mean, there's no way this team was getting a big turnover late in the game. And, you know, you look at this year as a whole. You know, this team's going to finish 9-6-1. Missed the playoffs. And this is the one year they actually got by the Patriots. They actually beat the Patriots. But it's so interesting to go back to that game now, knowing what we know about this entire year and how this year played out. I mean, that game, the way that they won that game, ends up being the exception to the season. I mean, that's the one game where defensively they played better than they did offensively. I mean, they won that game through defense, through quality defense late in that game. Big turnover late in that football game, you know, game-changing plays late in that game from the defense. They haven't seen that all year. They haven't had that all year. They need that again, and that's going to be. I think that has to be the focus for this team in the 2019 season and into this offseason. The big question now for this team is going to be how much changes do they make in the coaching staff? And obviously, you know, Tomlin is, you know, he's the big name there. I don't expect Tomlin to get fired, especially considering how many other head coaches got fired. And how small the pool is of credible head coaching candidates there are out there. The one thing you would say is potentially if the Steelers were going to fire Tomlin, and they're not going to, but let's just play this out real quick. If they were going to fire him, I guess the obvious choice would be just promote Munchak to head coach. Although he is, again, and I do want to spend some time. We're going to have a lot of time in January now. We have no playoff football to talk about. So I do want to play out kind of if they're going to change off of Tomlin, right? When Tomlin's time ends in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he's not going to get fired in this offseason, but the seat's going to get a little hotter. And if you have another 9-6-1 type of year where you miss the playoffs again in 2019, then the situation becomes a little more real for Mike Tomlin. And the question I want to ask, though, is what are the Steelers looking for in their next head coach? Right? What has been missing in the Mike Tomlin era, and what do they need to look for? Where does Mike Tomlin fit among, you know, the current NFL crop of head coaches and where this league is headed. But we'll talk about that into January. The one thing we talk about for this week and what's going to happen over the next week or so, you have to wonder about guys, of course, like Keith Butler, who I think Keith Butler absolutely should be let go. I thought he should be let go last year. So, you know, this defense and the lack of progress that they've made, he definitely should be on the hot seat or just completely let go. Same can be said for Danny Smith, by the way, at the special teams coordinator. Yeah, the special teams, not good in 2018. It took a guy like Ryan Switzer, who's been one of the best kick and punt returners for the Dallas Cowboys, and he was, you know, I don't even think he was average in 2018 as far as the yards per return. You know, that some of that goes to Danny Smith as well. And then the amount of special teams penalties that this team had in 2018, unacceptable, just unacceptable from Danny Smith. So you have to wonder if those two guys will be relieved of their duties. And then for Keith Butler, and if Keith Butler is relieved of his duty, who takes his place? Do the Steelers look outside the organization? Do they bring in fresh blood at the defensive coordinator position? Or is it going to be someone from the team right now who they're going to promote? As I've said before, I don't know that guy exists on the team. I don't know that there's a guy right now who you'd want to promote. I know Tom Bradley is the one guy who you'd say maybe. But, you know, the secondary coach who you just brought in from college, 1 year with this secondary, yes, he got better play out of Cody Sensabaugh than I think we all expected. He got better play out of a guy like Terrell Edmonds than we all expected. Better play even from Sean Davis than we all expected. But they weren't good. None of those guys were good, right? We expected Cody Sensabaugh to be bad in 2018, and he wasn't bad. He was just average. We expected bad free safety play from Sean Davis. He wasn't bad. He was average. We expected a poor play from a rookie like Terrell Edmonds. He wasn't bad. He was just okay to below average. And, you know, in that way, look, I give Bradley credit, but am I ready to take Bradley from that position to defensive coordinator? Probably not, right? Probably not. And again, I want someone to come into this organization from the outside with a completely fresh way of looking at defense and evaluating talent. Because as much as a problem as the scheme has been, and it's been a problem, see the Chargers game, see the Raiders game, see the Saints game, I do think talent evaluation is just as big a part of that, making sure that this team is doing a better job with these high draft picks that they continue to bring in, bringing guys who are going to end up fitting the scheme and becoming quality playmakers on this defense. So a lot to talk about in the offseason as we go here. Very, very disappointing end to this season. And, you know, it's probably the worst season for the Steelers since the back-to-back 8-8 years. The problem is the 8-8 years, not to say you're going to excuse an 8-8 year with Ben Roethlisberger at the helm, but that was a team that was transitioning off of the 2008 defense onto what would become, you know, this era of defense. Although I wouldn't say it was a good, certainly wasn't a good era of defense. But you know, you got to say like there was a transitionary period there. They had some problems there. They were transitioning off of Bruce Arians as their offensive coordinator onto Todd Haley. They were going through some change then. What is the change that happened between 2017, a 13-3 year, into 2018 where they go down to 9-6-1? It was their ability to win games late. This was a team's ability to win close games. In 2017, they won a ton of games late. In 2018, they continued to lose games late. But there was no real driving factor behind that. Yes, you know, you can chalk 2018 up as the Le'Veon Bell year if you want to, and that's an easy narrative, but it doesn't really fit with what happened on the field. It wasn't like Le'Veon Bell leaving the team left this team with a huge hole at running back that they weren't able to fill. James Conner was terrific throughout the 2018 season. And again, he inserted himself as a starter and then became the future starter of this team. Casting this year as the Le'Veon Bell year may be an easy narrative. And if the Steelers were to go back to, you know, being the team we expect in 2019, I guess that's what this year will be remembered as. But I think it's a little too easy to just say that this was the Le'Veon Bell year. This team in 2018 was as disappointing as you can remember from too talented a team to go 9-6-1. Too talented a team to go 9-6-1. You know, the disappointment in the Mike Tomlin era in the past has been that this team has potentially been knocked out of the playoffs a little too early. How poorly they played against the Patriots in that championship game. How poorly they played against the Jaguars in that embarrassing loss a year ago. But those were teams that won their division and played through the playoff, played in playoff games. This year, this year, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for what happened here. And that does mean that Mike Tomlin, while he won't be on the hot seat in this year, he may be on the hot seat into next year if this team does not turn it around. But you have to imagine this team is going to make some changes now, because again, there is no excusing this one away. There is no easy narrative to place on this season to say, well, you know, okay, this happened, so we're going to move on and try to pick this thing up in 2019. There have to be real changes to this team, specifically on the defensive side. So we'll do the Mike Tomlin press conference tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have Christopher Carter on late in the week, and we will continue this thing into the offseason. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.